everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm so thrilled to have Brandon Saito on the podcast. Now, Brandon is a financial consultant. He's married to Kristen, and together they have two children, daughters Karis and Aurora. He and Kristen were small group leaders at Catalyst, and although distance has prompted them to attend a church closer to their home, they're still very connected to our church family and with their small group as well. And so with that, Brandon, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Yeah, well, praise God this time has finally come, right? Because and I say this because the first time we scheduled you to be on the show, I got sick and had to cancel. And then the next time, Karis got sick, and so we had to reschedule. So I guess as the saying goes, third time is a charm, right? And I just thank God that in the end, he won out, and here we are today.
Huh? Right, yeah. I felt the enemy coming against me even today. So I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, so glad to be with you. And I thought we could start off by talking about your dad, Bill Saito. Now, I got to tell you, out of all the movies that your dad has acted in, somehow one scene that stands out to me as a young teenager was him as one of the truck drivers in the movie mm-hmm. Smokey and the Bandits.
Right.
with that huge smile and that laugh right after he smashes one of the doors off the bad sheriff's car. You remember that?
Says, Banzai!
That's right. So what was it like growing up having a Hollywood movie actor for a dad?
Mm-hmm. My dad was... He was a great father.
Yeah.
You know, besides the Hollywood stuff, he was the most generous person I've ever known.
Wow.
He was funny because he did things like go to garage sales every weekend. And the reason that he did that was because that was his way of showing love to people. When people would come over or whenever he'd meet somebody, he'd say, "What do you like? What are you into?" And he didn't write a list. He just would remember all the things that people liked. And so even the first time a new friend would come over, he'd ask, "What do you like?" If they said the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, he would go and he would remember. And when they came over again, he would have a Beatles t-shirt, Rolling Stones album, all these things like that people wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
And they're vintage, hard to get. So that's how he was. You know, he'd ask me, "What do you want?" I'd say, "I like the white Tic Tacs." And so he would bring Tic Tacs home every day.
Wow.
And then he just started buying the whole packet of them.
Wow.
And that's how he was. He was just a very generous and thoughtful person.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing that stands out to me, Brandon, was your dad loved to speak words of affirmation into you, huh?
Yeah.
And I wondered if you can share some of the things that your dad said to you that you still remember to this day as he spoke into you.
He would always say, he'd look to my mom when they're together and he'd say, "Hey, that's a good-looking kid." And I'd be like, "Oh, okay." Because my brother and sister, they're older, and so I remember my sister would say, like, "You have big ears. You know, you look like an airplane. You're like Dumbo."
Or
So you know, I thought of myself, a kid with big ears. But then when my dad would say it, that would just overpower anything that anyone's ever said to me.
Wow.
So I was thankful for him in that way also, just because he was very life-giving with his words. When I was doing sports, even if I had a bad game, he said, "That's okay. Next time you'll do better, and you're the best person on the team," even though I wasn't. He was always rooting for me.
I think you had mentioned he once told you, like, you're gonna score the most points, or he would just cheer you on and say, "You can do it." Very,
always.
Very positive, huh?
Yeah,
that is so awesome. And, you know, just something you said just reminds me of the love of our Father when you said that, you know, your dad's words overpowered anything else that, you know, that you could ever hear, whether it's from your sister or somebody else. And I thought, gosh, you know, if we would take the hearts to our heart the things that the Heavenly Father says about us, how powerful that would be, huh?
Right.
Yeah. So I remember he also said to you that you were different and almost in a sense saying, you know, don't settle for middle of the road mediocrity. And that rubbed off on you too. And I was wondering how that statement influenced kind of your philosophy of living your life today.
Let's see, how did he say it? He told me one time, the things that people are afraid of, you're not afraid of. And the things that people, and just the opposite way around. I remember talking to him about, you know, when I was a kid, writing checks and driving a car. I said, how am I going to learn how to do that? And he said, you'll just know how to do it. And so he would say things like, see, just like that, you're nervous or worried about doing things that you're just going to learn how to do and it's going to be easy. But the things that people are afraid of doing, I was always into doing crazy things. So yeah, that stuff didn't bother me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but what I'm hearing also is your propensity to step out in faith or step out in taking a risk for something that you believe in is something that comes maybe even more natural to you than maybe other people.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm moving on to your testimony now. I think you said it was about 20 years ago you were diagnosed with a very rare condition. And so I wondered if you can start by taking us back in time and retelling that experience.
Okay. So one day when I was in college, I was at my mom's house or my parents' house. I was lifting weights outside.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I got this weird feeling in the back of my head. And I was just like, oh, this is a different feeling, but I just kept lifting anyway.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden I got a phone call and I picked it up and I was just like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I was having a conversation and then I just couldn't speak normally. It was just like, and it like, nothing made sense.
Yeah.
And I joke around about things, and so they were just like, "What are you doing? Stop it!" And I said, "I can't." You know, like I couldn't even say I can't talk.
Yeah.
So my friend hung up the phone on me. Oh, no. He kind of got mad. He's like, "Quit playing!" So I hung up the phone, and so the next thing I thought to do was call somebody else.
Yeah.
So I called another friend. They're like, "What are you doing?" Because I was just making noises. But I was just trying to get the message across, like, something's wrong.
Right.
I think I talked to three people in a short amount of time. They all hung up. They got mad, frustrated with me. I went into the kitchen. My mom was chopping, you know, vegetables.
Yeah.
And she looked at me. I was making noises. And she's like, okay, all right, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And my dad was watching TV. And he looked back at me and he just like, you know, like, hi, he just waved at me. And I went into the room.
Gosh, that had to be very frustrating and maybe even scary too, right? Because you don't know what's going on. Huh.
Yeah. I was just, you know, like in shock. I didn't know what to do. I went into my room, put my face in the pillow. And my mom said, you should just go to your small group, because I had small group that night.
Oh, okay.
He said, I'll just have your friends pray for you.
Oh, my.
And so I thought, okay. So I think I took a nap, woke up, and she said the same thing. She said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, because my speech came back.
Okay.
It was coming back. It would happen, and maybe 20 minutes later, I'd lose my speech again.
Yeah.
So then I was driving over to my small group. It was about, you know, half an hour away. And I was trying to listen to the songs and sing to the songs that I love. And I just didn't remember all the words. And I couldn't sing along with them. And then my speech would come and go. So I got to my small group. And it was kind of the same kind of experience, but in person with my friends. And they said, okay, are you joking? And I said, no. And luckily there was a doctor at the church and he said, go to the hospital right away.
Yeah.
Went to the doctor. They did some tests. They said, oh, nothing's wrong with you. Oh. And they said, go get checked out from your normal doctor tomorrow. Anyway, went to school, had these really sharp pains in my head. It just got worse.
Oh.
And then my uncle, he lived close by the school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they said, go to the hospital now.
Yeah.
What happened was I got a scan, a CAT scan, and they mm-hmm. said, okay, you got to be admitted to the hospital. And that was probably one of the scariest moments in my life because I just didn't know what to do. We got in the elevator, and I broke down. And I just started to cry. And then when the elevator, you know, that noise went off, bing, I stood up and I was okay. And then I went in, I got these tests. That was overnight. I got like three different tests. Mm-hmm. But after the third test, they said, that's going to tell a lot. But I had to wait. They said it was going to take like 20 minutes. Probably took over an hour. And I didn't know what to do. I thought, okay, well, this is the rest of my life. I don't know how to think about how the rest of my life is going to be.
Right.
But then I looked out the window in the hospital bed, and I just started to smile and laugh because I remember when I was in junior high, because, yeah, this happened about 20 years ago. I remember a prayer that I said to God after being at a church camp, and I said, I don't want to be a normal Christian. I said, you know, we talked about brokenness, and I said, you could break me, do whatever you want, but just make my life more exciting than just normal. I don't want to be normal.
Yeah, and was this kind of like a directed at God then?
Yeah, no, I was talking to God.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, break me, do whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was you know, many years later, I was in junior high.
Yeah.
And I just started laughing because I thought, oh, this is pretty exciting. Wow. But I knew, because I had a relationship with God.
Okay.
I knew he was going to take care of me.
Wow.
And
then
the pastor, my pastor at the time, came in before I got the scans back. And he said, you know, I could have called you, but God prompted me to come and to give you this message. And the message is, everything is going to be okay.
Wow. Wow.
And from that point on, I had peace.
Wow. Wow.
I didn't cry about it like I did the night before. I just knew everything was going to be fine.
Yeah. I just think that's so amazing that here you are in the hospital and they're doing these CT scans on your, you know, on your brain. And in that moment that you could have that assurance that God has your back and he's taking care of you. And I think you even said you didn't want to be like Flanders from the Simpsons, right?
Yeah.
And then I think I asked you, you know, so do you see yourself more like Bart Simpson? I think you said yes, right?
Yeah, I liked Bart Simpson, but my mom didn't like me to watch The Simpsons.
Yeah, such incredible, is it faith? Is it faith or is it an awareness of God's love? How would you characterize that, just that incredible peace that came over you in the moment?
I think because my mom would always talk about faith. And I remember she called me that night when I was staying in the hospital and she said, oh, you know, you have a lot of people there, right? And I said, yeah. And she said, do you need me to come tonight? I said, no, I'm okay. And she said, I'll just pray for you. But when she said that she's praying for me, I knew that her prayers work. And so I was fine. It's not like I felt like she didn't love me as much because she wasn't there. One thing that my mom would do from the time I was real young, instead of if I was doing something wrong or she felt like there's a change that needed to be done in me, she would write a Bible verse on an index card and she would just put it on my bed. Uh-huh. And that's her way of saying that this is what I'm praying for you about.
Wow.
This is what, you know, maybe God needs to work on this area in your life. But I always took it to heart and never got mad. And I have a lot of those cards saved still.
Yeah.
So, you know, I took this Strength Finders test, and faith was one of the top, in my top five. And I just know that, because I've been through a lot of stuff,
yeah,
I know that God's always been there for me, and he's always going to continue to take care of me.
Yeah.
Wow. And now my family.
Yeah. That's such an amazing perspective. It's such a perspective shift in a lot of ways, in that and God is also giving you what you requested, right? Because you said you wanted to live an exciting life. You didn't want to live a boring life. Mm-hmm. And so when you said that, I thought of John 10:10. And it says, you know, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's not that we would just have, you know, life, but that we would live it to the fullest. And it sounds like you have really taken that to heart, huh?
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
So you get these scans, and what happens next? Because I think you literally were sent around the country, right, after you got these scans.
The scans were sent all around the country. Yeah. I don't remember how much time it took to get any news back. But during that time, I was on stool softeners. I was sleeping most of the day. Mm-hmm. I couldn't take a hard poop. And I couldn't pick up anything over 10 pounds. And okay. I was in school, but I couldn't barely function. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then one day, it might have been a month that went by, mm-hmm. we got a call from UCLA. And the doctor said, this, we've never seen this happen, but we're going to call your son Miracle Boy because a miracle happened in your brain. So the problem was I had what's called an AVM. It's an arterial venous malformation. Mm-hmm. And so the blood flow from the veins to the arteries, it was clogged.
Like a clot, blood clot.
Yeah. And so the blood had to flow in different areas.
Okay.
It had to find its way somehow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what the doctor explained, it's kind of like there's this black ball in my head, which was the problem. If it was close, big and close to the surface, they could cut my head open and take it out. Or if it was small and deep, they could do laser treatment. Mm-hmm. But mine was big and deep. So that's why the doctors didn't want to do anything. But what UCLA said was, all of a sudden, that thing shrunk down. Like the original scans were, you know, it was big and deep. And then because I was getting these scans.
Yeah, pretty regularly.
Yeah. 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 And then so something changed. And so they said, it's just a miracle.
Wow.
And then that thing shrunk down, and eventually I was able to get laser treatment.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Now, already you have this faith in God. What did that do to your faith when you go there and they say, we don't know what happened, but this, I think you called it a thrombosis, had shrunk in size. What did that do for your faith in God?
Okay, so it was a journey because it was like, okay, yeah, God took care of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, miracle. I'm Miracle Boy. I'm actually on this fantasy surfer thing, and I call myself Miracle Boy. So,
that's you.
My name. Yeah, yeah. But so that happened. They said it was a miracle. Yeah. I got laser treatment, but then I don't know. Six months later, I lost my speech again after the surgery,
mm-hmm.
And that was devastating for me because I thought I already got healed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we went back to the doctor, the neurologist, and he said, okay, well, even after the surgery, there's still a small chance, maybe 2-3% chance that there would still be an issue. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I had scar tissue left over the surgery.
Okay.
That just kind of floats around. And so the scar tissue hits these different parts of my brain. And then that's when I have a seizure or an episode. I don't convulse. I don't fall to the ground, but I just lose my speech. Okay. So they call it an episode.
Okay.
And they said I was just going to have to live with it.
And you said it was very rare. It was only like 2%, right, of the of the people have that come back again.
Yeah.
Okay. So it comes back, and then I think you said you had to go back on the medications after that again, right?
Yeah, I had to go back on the medications, and I had someone pray for me, and he said, you don't need the medication. Like, God's going to heal you. He's going to take care of you. And so I went to the doctor, and I said that. I said, I don't need it. God's going to take care of me. And they said, okay, that's great, but then you can't drive. I'm going to take away your license.
Oh.
And so I said, okay, I'll take the medication. I just had to roll with it. But
right.
I still believed that I was going to, God was going to take care of me fully.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, I know kind of in between that time, There was also a neurologist that had mentioned that you could be a candidate for brain surgery. And so I wonder if you can talk about that and what you decided.
Okay, so around 2017, I got a different job, and I was on, because I was with Kaiser at the time, and I had to change to see, I was on PPO, and so I had to get a new neurologist. And so I started going to this neurologist, and they were saying things like, oh, see, you know, you have this issue, you lose your speech, but you're a great candidate to get this new progressive surgery. And, you know, if it works, then I would never have a seizure again. Everything would be different. I wouldn't have to take medication. But I would have to have surgery, brain surgery. They would have to cut my skull and you remove part of my skull, and it would be off for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so it's a pretty intense type of surgery. So I wasn't sure about what to do. And so I said, well, what are the chances of something really bad happening? And they said, oh, well, it's so new, we can't tell you. I said, okay, what about me losing my speech forever? Oh, you know, we just can't tell you. I said, what about death? They said, you know, we just can't tell you, but you're a great candidate.
Yeah.
And so I remember, let's see what happened. It's kind of a blur sometimes, but
yeah.
I went in, I had to get these tests. I was there for a couple of days, and they were doing, it was like torture.
Yeah.
I was all hooked up to these different machines. There was a camera that was on me. I couldn't get out of bed unless I pushed a button. Someone called me and came over to get me out of bed. But they're watching me 24/7. And if I moved too much, an alarm would go off. Or if I fell asleep, if I started to fall asleep, they would run in because they didn't want me to sleep. They wanted to induce seizures to see what the seizures would look like. And then they would come in and do these like flashing lights and do all these weird things to see if they can induce a seizure. But it took a couple of days for that to happen. And then after that, I remember getting a call while I was at work, and it was the neurologist. And she said, we think that you should do this. And I remember just like kind of rushing into my office and closing the door. And I broke down because I didn't know what was going to happen to my family if I died.
Right.
Or something, right. Or, you know, like serious brain damage. And I didn't want to say too much to Kristen. I remember I was walking with Kristen and my sister-in-law, we kind of decided that I was going to go through with it.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law said to Kristen, how do you feel about this? Like, this is serious.
Right.
And I think Kristen, she has a lot of faith because she doesn't worry too much, or she doesn't show that she does. Mm-hmm. But one thing that happened that changed everything was my regular doctor, I became friends with him. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to him on the phone, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to move forward with this thing. What do you think?" And he said, "How old are you?" And I was like, "You know, I'm close to 40. And he said, "Can you do your job?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can you take care of your family?" I said, "Yeah, I can do everything." He said, "You surf?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why on earth would you do this thing?"
Yeah.
He said, "You're so young. If something happens and it, you know, it gets more serious, then do the surgery then. But right now, why, like, just don't do it."
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I said, "Are you serious? Like, I don't have to do it?" And he said, "Don't do it."
Yeah.
And then I, like, I was just so excited. I told Kristen, "I'm not going to do it." And I went to the doctor and I said, "I'm not going to do it." And they said, "Oh, that's fine."
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was shocked that they were okay with me not doing it.
Uh-huh.
Because they were pushing me so hard to do it.
Right.
And then I met with another doctor and I said, "You know, I really felt like you're really pushing me into this thing that's dangerous."
Yeah.
And they said, "I'm sorry, we don't want you to feel that way." I said, this could have been like life or death. And I felt really pushed. He said, "We don't want you to feel that way. And I kind of explained, like, the doctor I was talking to most. And she said, "You don't have to see that doctor. You know, you just have to get your regular tests and be on the meds and you'll be fine."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that changed kind of everything, my perspective on things. And
yeah.
I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. And I think you said it was like a huge weight had been taken
off. Oh, huge.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I might die.
Yeah. 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 You know, I just think as you share this, you know, the Bible and Proverbs talks about wise counsel, and it sounds like you got that. You know, you got different perspectives, and I think you even told your neurologist, "I don't ever want to see you again," right?
I told the other
something
one that
like
I don't
that,
want to
right?
see the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's so awesome. So you're on this journey now, and you're not going to go through with the surgery. Just take the medications. But even through this journey that you're on, you came to a point where you felt like you should even, I think it was either tone down or eliminate the medications, right, or something like that. And I wondered if you can share about that part of your journey.
Okay. It was about, I don't know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I got these thoughts that I need to get the surgery, or else I would be a bad father. I'd be a bad husband. If I go on vacations, I can't enjoy things with the family. It was just like another heavy weight was put on me.
Yeah.
And I was lying in bed, and it was almost like having this dialogue with the enemy, because the enemy was telling me things, and I thought, "Oh, maybe like you're right," or just like thinking about it. It's like, "Oh yeah, maybe you need to do this." So I got up and I looked in the mirror and I thought, "Okay, maybe I need to do this. I need to do this for my family." And so I thought about calling up the doctor and like having that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to bed. I was just lying down. And I remember what I read from the New Testament the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And God told me that, remember what you read yesterday? Said something about Jesus telling the disciples, "I've given you all power and authority to go and cast out all disease and all sickness."
Yes.
I think that's what it was. And I like started talking to God, and I was like, "Is this for me too? That my sickness, this problem that I have, that can be healed too?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Yes." And he told me to go on a 40-day journey with him to share my testimony with people and ask them to pray for me. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that. I started sharing with anybody that I could talk to. And some of the parents from the school, when they heard about it, they said, "We're going to pray for you. We're going to fast for you." Mm-hmm. And that was something new to me, that they're going to, like, people fast for somebody because of whatever they're going through. Yeah. And that was crazy to me. And then I started writing down the names of people I was talking to. And so in 40 days, I thought I was going to talk to 40 people. And I hit that. And then I felt like God tell me that you're supposed to share with 100 people. And so I was like, how am I going to do that? But during that time, something happened. I don't know. I stopped getting seizures. Wow. And so I was getting seizures multiple times a month, sometimes mm-hmm. multiple times a week, sometimes a few times in a day. Mm-hmm. But once I started that journey, I didn't get like a seizure.
Wow.
And then I started getting, so it starts by just feeling confused, and then I would just kind of like test it by just trying to say things or.
Yeah.
But sometimes the thought would come, am I having a seizure? And then no. Mm. Mm. And so let's see, I think that was like 2021 in November. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I haven't had like a seizure that I used to have.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And so I find this incredible too. So I had called you, I think it was sometime around that time, to ask. And now this is fast forwarding, I think toward either the end or of 2021 or the beginning of 2022, and talk to you about the idea, actually, now that I think of it, it's toward the end of 2022, I had talked to you about the idea of you sharing your testimony on Catalyst Stories, and you had tears in your eyes, and I wondered if you can share what caused that heartfelt reaction, because it really relates to what you had shared about getting your testimony to 100 people. Right.
Yeah, because I was thinking, how am I going to talk to 100 people and share my testimony? Yeah, I got to 40, but it was around that time when I was thinking about, you know, how am I going to get my testimony out there?
Yeah.
And then when you said to be on this podcast, I shared that with you. You said it's going to reach far more than 100 people.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, it was during the time that I was really experiencing healing.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's not just saying, like, will you pray for me and go on this journey with me, but it's hearing what God has done in my life and how he healed me.
Yeah.
And to me, it's so powerful.
Yes.
And I just want to get that story out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been experiencing all kinds of miracles. It's been very exciting.
Yeah.
During this trip.
Yeah. That's so awesome. I just wanted to quote a couple scriptures. Now, there, I don't think it's the one that you highlighted, but there is something in there that you had said, and it's Matthew 4:23 in the NIV. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And I think, you know, one of the words that was highlighted to you, Brandon, was the fact that God heals all, the word all and mm-hmm. everything. And it wasn't just he heals some things and he doesn't heal others, but it was, I think that was the thing that caught your attention.
Yeah.
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 And then one more in Matthew 9, 35 in the NIV, where it says Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness, not just some. And so, as you reflect on this amazing testimony, because I think now you said it's been how long since you've had a major episode or an episode at all.
It's been like 15 months or something.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So as you reflect on that, what are your takeaways as you now, you know, are headed on 15 months and just looking back at your journey? There's probably a lot of them, but if you could share maybe a few takeaways or learning during this time, what would that be?
Well, it's interesting because I was listening to a podcast today, and this lady was sharing about God's like who God is, and God is healer. He's not sometimes healer, or you know, God is all loving. You know, all these things about like. He knows all things, all the things we know about God. But one thing is that he's healer, and he didn't. When Jesus wanted to, when people came to him, he healed everybody.
Yes.
Right? And so that's just who he is. So, you know, what I'm experiencing, what I'm seeing, people go through, and God's healing. God is. Just taking people out of these situations where there's no hope.
Yeah.
That's how my perspective has changed, because I was worried, but I have my faith has increased, my hope has increased, and because of those things, I have a lot more peace just all around, because I was going through a time where I just didn't have peace at all.
Yeah,
and I would call Pastor Barry and some of the guys in my small group, and I just didn't have peace, and I would say, like, can you pray for me? And God got me out of that time. Mm-hmm. God healed many parts of my body that I've shared with a lot of people.
Yeah,
But that's just who he is.
Yeah, and I love you. You had once shared with me the words from a song that you like, and if I can just quote that, you said, "The one who knows me best is the one that loves me most. He knows what I need and what I don't need. He has it all planned out." And I don't know if those were the exact words, but it was a song that you once shared.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if you can also talk about God's goodness, because I know that you've shared that. You know, that you feel the goodness of God, and so I wondered if you can share about what God's goodness means to you.
Because he's my loving father, right? When I think about how much I love my girls, I just want to do whatever I can to be a good father to them. I make a lot of mistakes, and I think, man, I hope I didn't mess things up with the girls. But God doesn't make mistakes. He knows what he's doing all the time, and he's got everything under control. And he doesn't think, oh, I wish I would have treated Brandon this differently, or I wish I would have healed him sooner or made him wait so he would be more patient. He's got everything under control.
So
I don't need to feel like I have that I'm not taken care of. I feel like my faith in him should be 100% all day long, every day, you know, hope. But we don't. We can't operate on that level all the time, but when we know God and his characteristics, we should be operating at that place.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing that you've gotten to that point where God's goodness doesn't depend on what goes your way or doesn't go your way. As you said, you know, it's just part of his nature, part of his character, who he is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I also wanted to ask you, because this has really been a season of miracles for you right now, huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. you've seen this amazing miracle of God's hand in your life. And it seems like this was just the beginning, because then, you know, you were sharing with me that I think you had back issues. Mm-hmm. And so I wondered if you can share about that. And then also, you know, some things are going on at Karis's school that are just amazing, and how even the children are praying for adults and mm-hmm. they're getting healed. And so I wondered if you can share about kind of this season of miracles for you right now.
Yeah. So last March, I was at a retirement party for my aunt, and people love, like, Kristen's family loves to party. And so it was just a lot of fun. People were dancing. I was break dancing, and I was feeling really good. And then I just started doing things like I shouldn't be doing, because I'm not in high school and college.
I'm just
anymore.
Curious, how do you do that without breaking any of the furniture? Do you like move it out of the way
or
you?
They rent these halls.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And they have a dance floor.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's just they keep going. They go hard.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I messed up my back so bad. Just trying to do flips and just land on my back, and like,
oh my goodness.
I thought I was feeling so good. I felt like I was invincible. I could do whatever I want.
I'd love to see some video of that sometime. Maybe Kristen will let us, let me take a look.
I hope there's no video. But so it was in Washington. We were coming back, and it took like a couple days. I was fine the next day.
Yeah.
I was coming back, and then I think because I was on the plane for so long, everything just got tight. And since March of last year, let's see, it took, I was messed up for at least 6 months. But what happened was, at the end of the year, last year, there was a football game at the church that we're going to.
Okay.
And it was a flag football game. I played football in high school. I just wanted to play, but my back was so bad. Like, if I got up from a chair, I could barely stand up.
Wow.
It was just that bad.
Yeah.
And Kristen said, why don't you just go to church and get prayer and get healed and then play? And like, I didn't think about that, but she had so much faith that I could just get healed and then do what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of like what God wants for us, right? Uh-huh, he wants us to do what we like to do.
Yeah,
We just have to have the faith, and we have to ask, right? So I went to church thinking, okay, you know, like after service, find someone to pray, you know, about my back. And then my friend who's on the prayer team came up to me and he said, hey, I'm going to pray for your back, because Aurora came up to me and said, will you pray for my daddy's back? It hurts.
And how old was she at the time?
She's 3.
Wow.
Yeah, she recently turned 3.
Oh my.
And I said, oh no, it was probably Karis, because Aurora doesn't talk like that. And he said, no, I know who Aurora is. I know who Karis is. And it was definitely Aurora.
Wow.
And I was like, it's probably Karis, but okay. Yeah. And he just prayed for me, and he said, how do you feel? I was like, maybe a little bit better. And I played in the game, and it was still stiff, but I just thought, okay, I'm just going to have a good time. And I remember going up for a ball, and I slipped, and I fell on my side. And it was just, I thought, this was so dumb. I shouldn't have played. Mm-hmm. My back's going to get even more messed up. Towards the end of the night, I had this huge bruise on my side. Mm-hmm. And I went to sleep. Next morning, my hip is so messed up. It's black and blue. But when I got up, no pain in the lower back. I mean, there was this certain spot where it was just kind of controlling everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that spot, that pain, that spot was gone.
Wow.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, and this is after they had prayed over you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I experienced healing in my neck, too. And a lot of times, it's the day after I get prayed for.
Okay, okay.
I remember going to this retreat. I had a pain in my neck. It was so bad for like 10 years. A pastor prayed for me. He prayed for me for over an hour. He said, "How you feeling?" He kept asking how I'm feeling. And then he said, "Oh, it's okay. Tomorrow you'll be fine."
Yeah.
This pain for so long, I could hardly sleep because is he right on? Is that true? Woke up the next day, pain in my neck was gone.
Wow. Wow.
I could tell you more stories if you want, but
yeah. The other one I thought of was you once prayed for a father at the school that had knee issues, and so I wonder if you can share about that one.
So, after I got healed in my back,
my
faith increased, and so I was at school, and one of the fathers was standing, and he couldn't put pressure on his left leg, and I was like, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" And he's like, "I messed up my leg. I don't know what happened." And so I had to take the girls up to go to class.
Yeah.
And then I came back down. He was just like standing there. And I knew I had to go to work, but I just thought, okay, I'm just going to do a quick prayer. So I put my hand on his knee and I said something like, "Be healed in Jesus' name." Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I went to work. And the next day when I was dropping the girls off, this mother, his wife, she was like waving, like trying to get my attention. And she was like, "Brandon." I was like, "What's going on?" And she said, "He's healed. He's healed." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Oh, what do you mean?" And she's like, "Felix is healed. His knee doesn't hurt anymore. He woke up mm-hmm. and it was all gone." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "How do you get healed?" And she said, "Because you prayed for him."
Mm-hmm.
And I seriously said, it was like 2 seconds, "Be healed in Jesus' name."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Okay, praise God."
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that I'm learning, because I used to think growing up, you know, you grow up as a kid that, you know, when you're praying for healing or something that you think is too big for God, you know, which of course nothing is too big for him, right? But that I would need to clench my fist and summon all my energy and my power. And it was all about, you know, what I needed to do. But really it's God that's doing the healing anyway. And all we have to do is just speak it out of obedience, right?
Yeah,
and out of faith. It's not like, so that's what I hear that you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening to the kids at Karis's school. The resurrection power is being released. And that's something that Karis says a lot. So we believe that the kids, there's no junior Holy Spirit, right? They're in tune with God and what he wants to do, because they have this childlike faith that we're supposed to have.
Absolutely.
And so one of my friends, he came over, we're going to a basketball game, and he shared at church how he threw out his back because he picked up a pitching mound.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so bad. And so, and he was over, he was sitting down, and he was just talking about the pain. And so I was like, "Okay, we got to pray for him." And so I just said, "Karis, can you pray for my friend?" And she said, "Sure." She put her hand on his back, and she said, "Dear Jesus, heal Daniel. Resurrection power be released."
Yeah.
And that's how she said it.
Yeah.
And then we hung out. The next day, he texted me and he said, "My back is 100%.
Yeah, wow.
And it was bad for like a week. So it wasn't, it was, I believe it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And I said, kind of like, "Oh, really?" And he said, "Yeah, it's healed. No pain." He said, "I'm going to the gym tomorrow." And these are the kind of things that we're experiencing.
Yeah.
It's just tapping into.
Yeah. I mean, when I hear stories like that, I think of that verse that, you know, that you talked about, that, you know, where Jesus said, you know, unless, you know, you become like these little children, you know, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I think that just, you know, to me, just that childlike faith you said, where when Karis prayed for this man, it was just matter of fact. It wasn't like, "God, can you do this?" It was like, "God, do this, because I know you can," right?
Right.
It wasn't, there was no doubt in her mind.
Yeah. And so this was, I don't know, like a month ago that, you know, I was able to share. The guy who got healed, he shared at church.
And, oh, that's awesome.
And then the pastor wanted me to kind of release, you know, healing to the church. And I shared that I believe that we're in a season of miracles, but this season isn't going to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, probably many of you have heard about what went on at Asbury.
Uh-huh, yeah, it's going on at other universities too.
Yeah, and I was at the Rose Bowl about 2 weeks ago, or maybe a week ago.
Yeah.
And it was called Hope California. And they planned that a long time ago, but it was, you know, still during this time right after, you know, Asbury.
Yeah.
And right after that event, people went to this place called Iqbalo. And that's where they have prayer and worship. And so I started going there, and I saw a lady that I've known for a long time, and she could barely walk. She started to walk up and down stairs. That's a miracle.
Yeah, wow.
So miracles are breaking out. Revival is breaking out. And, I mean, it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, yeah, I know. It's so exciting to see. And like you said, this is just the beginning. You know, I want to quote Mark 16, 17, and 18. "We are believers, and these signs do follow us. In the name of Jesus, we lay hands on the sick, and they do recover." And, you know, something else you had shared, Brandon, was, you know, about the authority. You know, you had mentioned that a little earlier. And I just want to quote one other scripture, Matthew 28, 18, where Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And because Christ is in us, we have been given the authority of Christ," you know, the authority to lay hands on the sick and have them recover. And it's so awesome to see how God is working through you and your kids and the school, and I just see that mushrooming. So as we start to wrap up, for those that are listening that maybe would like to see more of God's faith and miracles in their life, what word of encouragement could you pass on to someone listening?
That God loves you, that He's healer, He's a good God, He's a loving Father, and whenever doubt starts to creep in, that He's not any of those things or any of the amazing qualities that He has, and the character that we know about Him and or who He is to us. Whenever we start to doubt those things, it's the enemy trying to speak lies. Mm-hmm. So for us to doubt. Because that's the number one thing that the enemy will try to do, is attack our faith. Because if we don't have faith, then our relationship with God starts to get weakened. And then, you know, He wants us to not have a relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So it's just, just believe. And if, yeah, doubt starts to creep in, you rebuke it. Say, I rebuke you, enemy, in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it starts to go. And then those voices, those thoughts, they start to go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Amen. And I'm just hearing in what you're saying, because of God's love for us, we can trust that his word is true and have that kind of faith because we know how great his love is for us. Yeah. And the other thing that I got from what you shared is having that childlike faith, you know, that it seems like such a small thing, but yet so big, so huge in having that faith that you talked about. Yeah, so Brendan, as we close our time together, I just first of all want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Story and sharing your amazing testimony with us, and we'll have to have you back here as God is still writing the chapters of your adventure. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd like to close our time by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for your wonderful testimony and for our listeners as well. So yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness to Brendan over all these years, and Lord, for the miracle of just shrinking down this thrombosis in Brendan's head so that he wouldn't need the surgery to survive, and for continuing to allow Brendan to function without having any real episodes for quite some time now, Lord. And Father God, we just want to acknowledge you and declare Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 21 in the New Living Translation, that you alone are our God, the only one who has done the mighty miracles that we have seen with our own eyes, Lord. So, Father God, Lord Jesus, give us the faith, Lord, as Brendan had talked about, that childlike faith, and trust in you to believe for the miraculous, both for ourselves and for others, Lord, knowing that, Father God, you could, as you've said, you could take faith as small as a mustard seed, Lord, but that it would blossom and grow and would take root, Lord. So we want that kind of faith, Lord. We want to grow in our faith. And Father God, thank you for Brandon's desire to live life to the fullest, for not wanting to settle for boring or ordinary or mediocre or status quo. Lord, we're reminded that Jesus, you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's John 10:10. So Lord Jesus, I pray for more of you in all of our lives, that we might have more peace, more joy, more compassion, more understanding, and more of your blessings on us, Lord. And Father God, thank you for showing Brendan your goodness to him, that he can acknowledge your goodness in all seasons and circumstances. Lord, help us to do what the psalmist says in Psalms 107, 8, and 9, when he says, "Oh, that we would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to our children. For he satisfies the longing and fills the hungry soul with goodness." And now, Jesus, may you use this testimony in Brendan's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, well, thank you, Brendan. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.